Ben Gretel on ESPN 960 and 94.5 FM. And it's time for the Cougar Beat, getting the dish from the local reporters that cover BYU sports here on your Cougar Sports Insider Radio Network.
All right. Had no idea. Didn't hear the sound bite coming back. I did not hear the music. Oh, there it is. Got it in my ear. Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Crittle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, WasatchMedicalClinic.com studios. Stop living with ED, live without it today at Wasatch Medical Clinic, WasatchMedicalClinic.com. Brian Logan by my side, the pass breakup king. It is time for a Cougar Beat. Going to be brought to you by Big O Tires and American Fork. Big O Tires and American Fork have the best deals going on for all your tires needs. Yes, I know it's still the winter wonderland season, so if you need new tires, you can buy three, get one free. Buy three, get one free. Talk to Ryan Eldridge when you call in. Mention ESPN 960. Mention Ben Crittle, you'll get that buy three, get one free deal. Also, they're a full service mechanic. So from front to back end, they can fix your vehicle. And they're huge BYU fans. Already, Ryan has given a nice NIL deal to Max Tooley. So support BYU Athletics, support Max Tooley, support Big O Tires in American Fork today. Let's get out to the hotline. Welcome in from the Deseret News and Wise Guys and BYU TV. We got Dave McCann, Cougar Sports Insider, on the line. What's up, Dave? How you living?
Did you just describe Brian Logan as the pass breakup king?
That's what I call him, man. He's got lots of pass breakups.
I just wanted to clarify.
Let me get this glory, Uncle. Let me keep this. This is my 3 hours a week of glory is what I get when I'm with Ben. So let me have it.
All right, I'm on board with I wrote it down. The pass breakup king. I'm going to introduce you to that on game day next fall. That gives me a whole new list of things I can say.
Yes, thank you, Ben. See what you did, Ben. I appreciate you for that. Thank you too, Uncle.
Hey, all you need to do is just pull up the tape, pull up the film. You see the pass breakup king on the highlight film.
That's true.
Dave, appreciate you hopping on. You've been penning a number of pieces in the Deseret News. Wanted to kind of delve into your mind a little bit on all the news and notes coming out of Cougar Nation recently.
Well, it's an interesting game this week, you know, in the here and now of playing Pepperdine Thursday, where BYU has struggled, you know, in their eight games down there. They're 4-4. For some reason, Pepperdine's been a tough spot, and then Gonzaga, the rematch on Saturday night. So they go to the bottom of the league, and then they come back up near the top in a unique kind of swoop after, I think, finding their identity these last three home games of a team that's going to play defense, limit turnovers, and put themselves in a position to win. Two of the last three they won, and the third was the buzzer beater by St. Mary's, who's clearly the best team in the league. So I think they've turned a corner, and they know who they are and what they're about, and now comes a unique challenge of, again, playing the worst team in the league, at least the team with the worst record, and then going up for an emotional game in Spokane.
Yeah, I don't know where you're at with this BYU basketball team, but it does seem that they had a few nice games this past weekend. Looked like they were a different team. Is this a one-weekend deal, or do you think they're going to transition this into these road games, these very difficult road games?
Well, those are good questions. That's why we watch these games. But in the last three, as mentioned, they've limited turnovers, and they've won two of the three, and again, the third took a buzzer shot to beat them when they're big underdogs. I think they have. I think they've figured themselves out. It took 26 games, but they're tied for third place. They were picked to finish in third place. They've got an opportunity to play themselves away from the first and second rounds of the tournament in Vegas, which is just over 3 weeks away. And it's all right in their hands. And again, they go play a team that's 1-10 in the league on Thursday night in Malibu, and that's where they test their mettle. Have they turned the corner? If they can win Thursday, then I would say yes, they have. No matter what happens Saturday, and now they're playing for a position of a three or a four seed in Vegas, which is so different from playing on Friday night or even Thursday night, where it looked a couple of weeks ago like they might be.
Yeah, it seems like you know, they've had these flashes of brilliance, these times where they just play together, they're one cohesive unit, there's chemistry, the coaching is on point. And then other times, I mean, you look at some of these games, and yes, they've lost games by 1 point. They've been close. I think an average margin of these losses is like 4.6 points. They've been competitive. But they've also, you know, barely beat piss-poor competition at times. It seems like they play up or play down to the level of competition that they're playing.
That's for sure. They certainly have done that. You know, they beat Creighton. Creighton's back in the top 25 now. Took San Diego State to the wire in San Diego. They're back in the top 25. The game against Creighton was, or against Dayton that they won was with tremendous comeback in the second half that no one figured they were capable of doing. And they're not a good offensive team. I think they know that. Their effort is in defense and rebounds and limiting turnovers, which gives you an opportunity to get some more points. And that's the formula moving forward for success for them. So it's taken them a while to get here, but, you know, the Cougar fans ride the highs and lows. But if you look at the standings, they're sitting right where they were picked to sit, behind St. Mary's and Gonzaga. And now they got an opportunity to fight to stay there and go into the Vegas tournament with a 3 seed or a 4 seed, and that's about all you can ask for this group.
You know, what's interesting, your first response that really stuck out to me when you said the word identity. You know, we talked earlier on the show about BYU's defense and not really having identity, and we talked, you know, for the last couple of years about it. You know, with a team like this basketball team, and I would say the last couple of seasons where you kind of have this makeshift team. I don't want that to sound bad, but essentially you have a whole new roster and key players that are coming in. And I've always said, man, it's got to be hard for that chemistry to gel. And my question is, if this is going to be the trend moving forward, do you see things changing? I mean, I feel like a team getting their identity this late into the season, it's just too late. And if this is how Coach Pope is his recruiting cycle is going to be, I don't see any hope for the future.
Well, I wrote an article about this too a little earlier on. If you're going to be a portal shopper, then this is how it is going to be. And some days you strike gold in the portal, and some years you don't. BYU has not gotten the portal production that they'd hoped this year or last year. They got it with Matt Harms, but he's, you know, when you're over 7 feet tall, you can deliver on your promises of rebounds and blocked shots. But I think that is the challenge moving forward versus homegrown guys versus quick fixes in the portal. And it's easy to be infatuated with the portal, just like you know, you walk through, we're going to be at the Orleans in a few weeks for the Vegas tournament. There'll be people hitting the slot machines just thinking, you know what, this is going to be, I just need this one to hit. Or, okay, maybe this next one's going to hit. And pretty soon they're out of money. I think it's the same thing in gambling in the portal. You might hit it rich, but most people don't. And that's the question for the staff moving forward. There's Colin Chandler serving his mission. He'll be back. You're building with Dallin Hall as a freshman. Richie Saunders is a freshman. Fusini Traore has been with the program. Atiki's been with the program. Spencer Johnson's been with the program. And those are the key guys. The newcomers, if Jackson Robinson's hot, no one can stop him. If Rudy Williams is hot, he can score 26 like he did against Utah. If he's not, he'll score 2 against St. Mary's. Noah Waterman, when he's playing, he can hit. Right now he's 1 for 20 shooting threes. So that's the gamble you take, bringing guys in with the hope of a quick portal fix. I think that the way to go forward is you homegrown it and then you add some pieces. But the pieces you add can't be we're banking on this and then we'll build around those guys, because there's no guarantee of what's coming in. Whereas there's a homegrown player, you know what Foose is going to do. You know what Spencer Johnson's going to do. And then you get pieces that enhance that group as opposed to that group trying to enhance the new pieces coming in. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think it describes this season completely. And that's the decision for Mark Pope moving forward. What do I want to be? Do I want to be a portal shopper, or do I want to be a homegrown builder and add a piece here or there where it fits? And I don't know where he's at right now with that. Right now it seems like all the answers are in the portal. And the last two seasons, those answers haven't been the right answers in the portal. And that's where NIT last year, and they'll be fortunate to get the NIT this year.
I've been trying to look at the guys that BYU has missed out on in the portal. You know, there's been a few the last 2 years. Antoine Davis Jr., I don't know if you're ever going to get him. Frederick King, Creighton, he ended up at Creighton. You missed out on that one, a big man. This last go-around, I think there was a JUCO player, one of the best JUCO players in the country that was coming through and looking at BYU. They've swung big. They've missed big. But they also hit some home runs early on. Matt Harms was a big get. Early on, they got Yo to come back and Jake Toulson to come back, and that was a special season. So, I'm not going to hate on a guy for going and swinging big and trying to get better immediately. But BYU is built a little bit different. I think we could all agree with that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're going to out NIL Baylor. I don't know if they're going to out NIL any one of these Big 12 teams.
Well, right? we just talked about the preferred walk-on list, right? And we went back to history, and we said, what makes these walk-ons really good?
More
right?
qualitative. Built Bar scholarships.
Well,
Built Bar PWOs.
Well, what I'm saying is usually these preferred walk-ons, they have a passion and a desire for the school, right? And they overachieve. And so to me, it's almost like, if this is our DNA, the recruits, right? It's in their DNA to love and be loyal to this university and then work their butts off. I almost feel like it's like Uncle Dave said, it's better off to get a kid like that, develop them versus having a quick fix, especially a quick fix that is going to be a key player, right? I think that goes in our favor.
I think you want to get people who are invested, and kids that come to the portal aren't. They have no history here. Mm. They want to come here, play, and if it doesn't work out, you know, a lot of guys go somewhere else. And you're right, BYU's not an easy sell, per se. There were a lot of kids that came through. But you know what? The honor code's still a thing on campus. Always will be. And some guys don't want to live that. Matt Harms, when he came, he said, I can live that for the year that I'm there. Not that big of a deal, and he did. Others would go, no, I'm not. Or other coaches would say, you don't want to go there because you can't do this, this, and this. And that's always been there. But now in the portal, you got everybody after the same guy because he's averaging 19 points a game and he's for sale. But it's getting the guys that are invested, and that's the challenge. Keaton Slovis, for example, he's coming to BYU. He's got 1 year to play. He's invested in the fact that he wants to play for Aaron Roderick's offense. He wants to get ready for the NFL. He wants to play this kind of schedule, and he believes that this environment will give him the best shot to get ready for a job. That's his investment. And because he's got a shot at the NFL, I believe he's totally invested. But he's never played Utah before, and he's not going to. He's on the surface. I like that he's invested for his reasons to come here, and I think he's going to be a big factor in the Big 12 for BYU next fall. But he's an exception. Some of the guys that come aren't as focused, aren't as eager to invest in their future in their 1 year or 3 months or however long they're going to play here. And when the going gets tough, they check out because it's not fun. It's hard. I'm not hitting any shots. I don't even know why I'm out here, you know. Or wait, I got an NIL. That's why I'm out here. That's this new world of college basketball that BYU's in. And I think fans panic a little bit because they know what league's about to enter. And they see that quality of play every night on ESPN and look back at BYU and go, what are you guys going to do in the next 9 months to get ready for that? And it's easy to go, well, I'm going to the portal because I got to find some help. And you know what? They will go to the portal, and they are looking for help. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be the answers again and next season. We may have this conversation again. Unless whoever they get from the portal delivers on more than promised. And that's been the challenge. Alex Barcelo delivered on more than was promised, and that's why he was such a key player for Mark Pope. Started every one of his games for 3 years. And this is the first year without him. That's what you're searching for in the portal, and, man, it just seems so hard to find.
It is tough to find, no doubt, Dave. Dave, appreciate you hopping on, giving us your insight and knowledge as it relates to BYU athletics, BYU basketball right now. My final question for you is this. Is there still hope in your heart that this BYU men's basketball team can become an NCAA basketball tournament team? Or have you kind of put your heart into the NIT realm of things?
You know, I tweeted out the other night after the game, I think it was when they beat LMU by 29, after LMU had beaten them in Vegas and had beat Gonzaga in Spokane, that if BYU plays like this, they can win the conference tournament in Las Vegas. And then they came back out on Saturday night and did it again. And now they have Pepperdine Thursday and up to Gonzaga on Saturday, and there's just a few games after that. If they play like they're playing right now, they can go into Vegas and win that tournament. And, yes, the winner of that tournament would get them into the NCAA tournament. To do it, they'll have to do what they're doing, which is few turnovers, more rebounds, and of course, they got to hit shots. Easier said than done, but they're doing it in this stretch of basketball. And I even include the St. Mary's game that they lost because they played awfully tough in that game and had a chance to win it. That's a team that can go to Vegas and this year, because Gonzaga is not the Gonzaga they used to be. And BYU knows they can take St. Mary's to the wire because they did it. This is the kind of year where a team not named Gonzaga can win the conference tournament. So if BYU's playing like they're playing right now, could they do it? Absolutely. Do I think they will? I keep looking at game by game for evidence. So you could say the last three games says they're on track to do that. And then the magic of being a sports fan glues you to the set to see if they can, or to listen to this show, or to Wise Guys later tonight. We're all in. And our investment is maybe not, people may not be invested in this team particularly, but they're invested in BYU because it's part of their life and it has been for so long. Everyone wants to see that group succeed. I certainly want to see them succeed. And like I wrote about, if they have truly found their identity and can go and reproduce that now, they got as good a shot as anybody else going to Vegas and hitting the jackpot. And so, yeah, I'm optimistic about that. Now, if they get beat by Pepperdine, I'll come back on here and we'll have a different conversation. But until then, I think they can.
Yeah, yes, indeed. What do you have planned for the fans this evening on Wise Guys?
Kelly Papinga is going to be one of our guests and talk about getting that pass rush back, which everybody wants, from the defensive line and those edge rushers. And then Mark Comer is the co-chair of the Royal Blue Collective. I know you've visited with him before. We're going to talk about the NIL and how it works at BYU and the strengths that come from it, as far as if a student athlete is looking around for NILs, how can I know that a promise made is a promise paid, especially with all the wild stories running around college sports right now with kids getting stiffed after being promised money. The Royal Blue Collective is an interesting way to at least from BYU's end, to say, hey, here's what you can earn, here's how you earn it, here's how you're guaranteed to be paid. And I think that for parents and players, that's a comfort to know that exists in this wild, wild west of college sports. So that and all of Blaine's wisdom, that's coming up tonight on the Wise Guys. We're live now on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and YSGuys.com. Start at 6, and this is a great we just hope to keep Cougar Nation entertained after they listen to this show to come listen to ours.
Love it. Check it out today. Appreciate Dave McCann joining us. Thanks so much, Dave.
Anytime, guys. See ya.
There you go, Dave McCann, ladies and gentlemen. Any thoughts before we call that a segment?
Man, I love that perspective. It got me really thinking, because I think the last couple shows I was on, except for last week, we've been talking about the basketball team, and my concern has always been the chemistry and guys gelling, and I know how important that is. And from my own experience, I feel like I gelled a lot quicker. Same thing with Corby Easton, because he was by my side, with a lot of our teammates, because we went out, we did stuff with them outside of football, right? Mm-hmm. So off the field, we were doing activities, right? And so for whatever strange, weird reason, that carries over and translates to the field. I think a lot of it has to do with trust, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, as he was saying identity, I'm like, oh, that's perfect. That's great. But then it's like, it's too late. And I start thinking about the recruiting cycle. And it seems like Coach Pope is doing what he said, what Uncle Dave said, which is, you know, being the portal shopper. And then I tied it back to what we said earlier. I'm like, man, I really believe in my heart it's better off to get guys that, like Uncle Dave said, invested and then develop them. Like, BYU is always, always, always develop players.
Yep.
And that's the key, right? It's, I'll take a hit right now for, you know, maybe not having the talent that I need to have, but eventually, you know, I'm gonna develop these guys into the talent I need, and then I can sustain that cycle, right?
B-Lo, the pass breakup king, with the breakdown. We'll go to break. Don't go anywhere more to get to here on your Cougar Sports Insider Radio Network, ESPN 960.